2 Kings chapter 25, you pray for me tonight. I'm excited and nervous all at the same time. That's a good problem, isn't it? Verse 27, we'll begin reading. And it came to pass in the 7th and 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. And he spake kindly to him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. Stop there with the reading. You can also find this account in the book of Jeremiah, the last chapter of Jeremiah, the last few verses. You'll find the same account as recorded by Jeremiah, almost as word for word exactly. But I want to preach tonight on this subject, whom the Son sets free. Whom the Son sets free. One of the good kings that came out of the kingdom of Judah was Josiah. He was a good king. He removed all the abominations and all the idols and put God back in his rightful place, which if you're going to be the head of any household, regardless if it's the church or your home or your heart, you should remove everything worldly and put God first and in his rightful place. Nothing can happen unless God is in his rightful place. So Josiah did what was right in the sight of God, but soon after him came his son Jehoahaz. Jehoahaz did evil in the sight of the Lord. He was a wicked king. And that soon progressed on down to his son. His son was named Jehoiakim. And then he had a son, who we read about in our text. His name is Jehoiachin. So I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. It only takes one generation to really bring a curse upon a family. Even though you raise your kids right, doesn't mean they're going to turn out right. And I know probably Josiah raised his son the right way, but yet he turned away from God and he paid for it dearly the next two generations. So we see what happened here, and we know we preached about it, mentioned it from this pulpit, the continual cycle that the children of Israel went through. We know that they rejoiced in the Lord and God would bless them. And then they would become complacent. They would become rebellious, and then they would sin and turn their back against the Lord. And most of the time, almost all of the time, it came because someone evil was leading them. And so because of this, they would turn their back on God. And then God would bring punishment to them in various ways. And then they would repent and turn back to God. This was a continual cycle. And in fact, you'll find that in your own life if you don't watch out. But it was a continual cycle. And so we find here in the reading, if you want to read it when you get home, this entire chapter, and even in the history of this, how Nebuchadnezzar, because of sin got them to this place. But Nebuchadnezzar came and he took over the children of Israel. And we know that the prophet Jeremiah came to Jehoiakim and said, don't give it over to Nebuchadnezzar. Don't surrender to the king. But that's exactly what he did. He surrendered to King Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar didn't take care of him. No, on the contrary, he threw him into prison. And he took a lot of them back with him. And in that group that he took back to Babylon was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and some others. So now we are at our text. And it came to pass the 7th and 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin. Now he was in prison for 36 years, was in prison, and Nebuchadnezzar put him there. Nebuchadnezzar wrote the law that condemned him. And really, if it was up to Nebuchadnezzar, he would have left them there to die. He wrote the law that condemned him and put him in prison and probably forgot about him. But a new king got on the throne. His name was Evil-Merodach. In fact, it's called Evil-Merodach, but it says out here Evil-Merodach. But Evil-Merodach got on the throne. Now you say, well, Brian, who's that? Just happened to be the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And when the son got on the throne, things began to change in Jehoiachin's life. Nebuchadnezzar was an evil king. And I know that Evil-Merodach was the king of Babylon, but something changed in the life of Jehoiachin. We know that evil came because of Nebuchadnezzar, but when the son got on the throne, things began to pick up in the life of Jehoiachin. And I don't know about you, but when Jesus gets on the throne,
things begin to pick up at our house. Things begin to pick up in your house. And your life begins to change when the Son gets on the throne. You know who I'm talking about tonight? His name is Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ gets on the throne and He begins to rule and reign, then thank God things can start to change in your life. And you'll notice some things that happen, and it's played right here in front of us in Scripture. First of all, the thing that happened to get Him out of this captivity that was in was exactly that. The first thing that He did was He pulled Him out of captivity. Look in verse 27. He said when He began to reign, He did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. When the Son got on the throne, thank God He pulled Him out of captivity. He set Him free. He set Him free. You say, well, Brian, Jehoiachin, it states in the Bible that Jehoiachin also did evil in the sight of the Lord. So why did he get rewarded and get free? Well, you'll find if you look at history, the writer Josephus, the great historian Josephus, records that Jehoiachin, while he was in prison, became a humble man. He spoke kindly to the guard. He spoke kindly to the people. And you know what the Bible says about humble people? He gives grace to a humble heart. And so because he became humble, and I believe his life changed when he got in prison, when the Son got on the throne, the Son offered grace to Jehoiachin and pulled him out of captivity. Thank God the same thing can happen to us tonight when Jesus Christ is on the throne. And you know, He is on the throne. He's sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for us. But thank God when we become humble, thank God He'll extend grace our way and pull us out of captivity. Aren't you glad for the day you were pulled out of prison? Aren't you glad for the day that you were wrapped in sin? The psalmist would say that he was in a horrible pit in the miry clay. But thank God he reached down to where you are and pulled you out of that bottomless pit you would feel like, and set you on a solid rock and establish your going. I'll never forget the day that I thought I was going to die and go to hell. But thank God his arm is not short and his ear is not heavy, but he can't pull me out and hear my cry. Aren't you glad that you're free tonight? In the name of Jesus. And it's all because the King showed grace to us. Hallelujah. Pulled him out of captivity. Look what happened next. He pronounced comfort. And he spake kindly to him. And he spake kindly. Not only did he pull him out of captivity, but he pronounced comfort. No greater words to ever come out of someone's mouth than when Jesus speaks to you words of comfort. Some of you have been in times when you get out of that prison, you start walking with God, and you're free. And you know that the Bible says when the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. But even though we're free, we still got to walk around in this dirty cesspool we call earth. And sometimes things happen. Sometimes it upsets the apple cart, so to speak, in our life. We'll get bombarded here and there. But isn't it amazing that when Jesus comes along, He's on the throne, and He speaks peace to our heart. We don't have to know the outcome. We don't have to know what's going to happen the next day, Elsie. But thank God He can speak words of comfort in a hospital room and says, I'm going to get you out of there. Just hold on. I'm going to bring you out. Aren't you glad when He speaks peace to you? He pronounces comfort in times of storm. That's why He spake kindly to Jehoiachin. I'll never forget before I started coming here. Whenever God led me from Hillsboro, Ohio to work in South Shore, Kentucky, Heather and I were living with her mom and dad. And during this time, we had a house that we needed to sell. And we lived in Hillsboro, and I was driving from Hillsboro to South Shore. And actually, we were getting ready to move in with Mike and Kim. And we needed to sell this house. And it was on the market for a number of weeks, a number of months. And we lived outside of Hillsboro, Ohio. It was a little place called Siders Road, just when you get into Highland County on Route 73. It's about 20 minutes from town, either way you go. I don't know if you'd call Otway a town, but it was about 30 minutes from Otway, about 25 minutes from Hillsboro. So we was right in the middle, basically nowhere. And we didn't get a onlooker, didn't get a call, didn't get nothing. And we needed to sell this house because we were getting ready to move. God was changing our direction, changing our lives, and we was moving back home. and became a burden. It became a huge burden upon us. We were just newly married, had Abby, of course, and this was really a big turmoil in our life. And so, didn't know what was going to do, Mark. And we was in service one night at where I was going at Beach Fork at the time, and God spoke to my cousin Doug Brown, and we had shared with him our burden, and he came up and said, "Brian," he said, "I really feel the need that we just need to get a hold of God and gather around you all and pray for you." And he said, we need to hear from God, so let's get around." And so we gathered around, and we began to pray. And to be honest with you, I didn't hear God speak, but Doug heard God speak. And Doug said, "Brian, I've heard from heaven, and God's going to answer prayer." And you know what? Even though I didn't hear the Lord, maybe because I was so cumbered by the care, even though I didn't, thank God someone cared enough to pray for me. And they heard God speak, and they related to me. And I said, "You know what, Doug? That's all I need." I trusted Doug. I trusted the Lord. And I know if He spoke to him, He could speak to him to me. And so what I did, I said, "Lord, I'm going to trust You." And I said, "Lord, I'm going to trust You. We're going to leave it in Your hands." And you know what? I felt the peace come down. The house wasn't sold yet, but I found comfort. I found peace in the midst of that storm. You know what? 3 days later, we got a call. Someone needed to look at the house. They came and looked at the house. A couple of days later, it was sold. Papers were signed. You say, "Brian, that's great." Oh, that's even, let me tell you what God can do. He sent them all the way from Wichita, Kansas, to buy my house in Hillsboro, Ohio. Sent a couple from Wichita. They got a job at GE. He didn't want a house in Hillsboro. He wanted a house out of town, in the country a little bit ways, but still close to GE, where he could drive to work in Peebles. And you know what? When they saw the house, they said, "This is it. This is perfect. This is what we need." I said, "Thank God. He's always in time, on time, every time. Thank God for the comfort that He can give." Hallelujah. The king was on the throne. He pulled him out of captivity. Pronounced comfort to him. But then notice, thirdly, "And He set His throne above the throne of the kings that were with Him in Babylon. He gave Him power in the midst of confusion." You say, "Brian, what was the confusion?" Well, look where they were at. In Babylon. The root word of Babylon is Babel, which means confused. They were in the midst of a confusing situation, but right in the midst of their trial and their circumstance, right in the midst of His depravity, thank God, He gave Him power. Right in the midst of all that, yes, there may have been others that should have gotten that power, but the king looked down at Jehoiachin and gave him grace and set him up above all the other kings that were with him there. You say, "Brian, does that have anything to do with us?" Oh, yes. We are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people. The book of Revelation 1:6 says, "He has made us kings and priests." Thank God when I come to Him, I'm not part of this world. I'm of a royal priesthood. Aren't you thankful tonight that He gives us power in the midst of this confusing world when we don't know what's going on? We've got power and authority in Jesus' name. And guess who it comes from? The King that sits on the throne. Hallelujah. Oh, I got two or three more. You okay? It won't take that long, I promise. He pronounced comfort to him. He gave him power in the midst of confusion. He pulled him out of captivity, but look what he did next. He placed some new clothes on him. Woo! Glory to God. Verse 29. Oh, hallelujah. I feel this. "And he changed his prison garments." When he got out of that poor, dirty, infested prison, thank God the king said, "You can't wear them dirty old clothes you wore while you were in captivity. I'm going to give you a brand spanking new robe." Hallelujah. Glory to God. The book of Isaiah says that He's clothed us with the garment of salvation. In Isaiah 61 verse 10, aren't you thankful that when we're saved, we don't wear the clothes of the world anymore? We don't wear that dirty rag of sin. We trade the old coat and put a new one on in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, I'll just park right here just for a second. This is not going to be a part of my sermon that says what you should wear or not wear. I believe when God comes in your heart, there shouldn't be any doubt when I look at you that you're different from this world. That's all I'm going to say. I think every one of us would agree with that. But let me just say this. If you want to be represented in a certain way, people will wear certain clothing items that'll show what team or who they're represented by or who they like or who they like to cheer for. For instance, most of my clothes in my closet, if they're not suits, they're either Ohio State t-shirts, Cincinnati Red t-shirts, or Cincinnati Bengals. Please, I know you'll be praying for me. But that's my clothes. I've always wore that. I've always wore them for a long time. I got golf shirts, ties, whatever. I got it all. But when I wear those, it means I'm not ashamed regardless of how they played that weekend. I'm not ashamed because I feel like I'm representing them, so to speak. And so I wear the clothes proudly because when people look at me, they automatically know that I'm a Reds fan or I'm a Buckeye fan or I'm a Bengals fan. And you all do the same thing. So don't get angel wings on me right now. You all do the same thing. When you all went up there Saturday and cheered on Memphis or Valley or whoever it was, you wore purple, you wore gold for Valley, you wore red and you wore gray and white for Memphis. I sure hope you did. And so because why? When people looked at you on the opposing side, they want to say, there's a Memphis fan right there. There's a Valley fan right there. You know why? It's easy to tell. Because they looked on the outside and saw who you represented. And so when I'm out in this world, I don't have to wear a flashing sign that says, look at me, I'm a Christian. No, I walk in glory. I walk in victory. Hey, the glory of God lives inside of me. So that way, even though I got jeans and a golf shirt on, I still proclaim the glory of God. And when people look, it's not about so much the clothes, but it's about what's on the inside. Because the inside will eventually come out on the outside. And there shouldn't be any doubt when I walk down the street, I should be able to look at you and say, there's something different about that person. You know what? I bet they go to church. I bet they represent the Lord's side. And I'm not ashamed to proclaim tonight, I'm a member of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords team. I'm not ashamed to wear the garment of salvation. I'll just say this, men and women alike. When you get ready to come to church, look at it and say, would Jesus approve of what I wear? And I'll go a step further. When you step out of your house, would Jesus approve of what I wear? Amen. That's good preaching. He placed new clothes on him. Couldn't wear the clothes of the world anymore. Had to wear what the king told him to wear. Oh, boy. And then look what else he did. And the rest of the verses. And he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day. Look at this. All the days of his life. This is what he did. He provided care for him continually. He pulled him out of prison. Pronounced comfort to him. Gave him power. Put on new clothes. Sounds like us when we're saved. And then he provided every care that he had every day of his life. And in fact, the book of Jeremiah says, until he died, he took care of him. Don't you know that the word of God is still true? My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I'm telling you, no matter what your need is, God can supply. If He pulled you out of prison, if He's given you power, if He's given you new clothes, if He's extended grace to you, how much more can He provide every need that you have? He can. The other night we were, I'll share this and move right on. The other night we had in the family, and myself, we went to Ashland to get some things we needed. And all God's children got to go to Cheddar's when you get to Ashland. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. So we were sitting down and because
because of your all graciousness and goodness, we had gift cards. Bless God. And not only do I receive them, but I freely give them away at Christmas time. They're the gift that keeps on giving. And so while I was, I got a long story, but I'll make it short as possible. While I was there around Christmas time to get gift cards that I needed, the Lord said this, and I didn't even tell Heather the last night. The Lord said this. He said, get an extra one there. You're getting some. Just get one more. I said, who? Who am I getting it to? He said, I'll show you. So I did. I got an extra gift card and put the money on it, and I had it in my hand. And on the way out, God said, right there. There was a mom and dad and three or four kids. And I didn't know them, never saw them in my life. But they were getting ready to go in. They were kind of hurrying their kids to get in because it was crowded. And I just handed the mom the gift card and I said, Merry Christmas. And I walked away. And I don't say that. I never did tell my wife till last night because she, I'll tell you what happened. So I gave that gift card and think nothing else about it. A few weeks ago, I did what every man and woman should do if you've been married for any length of time. Give your kids to your the grandparents and go out on a date. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Really, seriously. I'm not a marriage counselor, but it works every time. So we went out on a date, just me and Heather. And guess where we went? Cheddar's. So we got our ribs and our steak and we're sitting down. Come time for the bill. We had gift cards. But I didn't need them. Somebody already took care of it before we got it. And I said, man, but I got gift cards. I mean, Heather said, well, the Lord just keeps blessing. I was like, yeah. She said, we'll come back. We'll come back. I was like, yeah, I know. So I still had them gift cards. So we went back. Getting ready to get our bill this time. But instead of the bill, I got a dessert. I didn't order it because you know I'm a diabetic. But if God sends it, you got to eat it. Amen. Amen, right? It's sanctified by the Word of God. One of them big old skillets with a cookie in it and ice cream and chocolate and nuts on it. And we split it. I promise we split it. But wasn't expecting that, Tim. Wasn't expecting that, but I was able to partake of that blessing. And then I told Heather, I said, you know why this is happening, don't you? She said, why? I said, because the Lord's just giving us back what we've been able to do for others. And that's a crude illustration, but I just want to show you. God will take care of every need you have. I know there's more serious needs than that than just a Cheddar's meal, but I'm telling you, don't ever think that God doesn't hear you and care for you and knows that you have a need. In fact, He knows our need even before we ask. So just like the woman that had the daughter that was grievously vexed with the devil, she didn't ask God for a thing. First of all, she came and worshiped Him. When we learn to worship Him, I guarantee you our needs will get met. He provided continually. And then finally, this blessed me more than anything. He gave a promise to His children. I didn't just see this till today. Matthew chapter 1. Let me read something to you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 11. And Josiah begat Jeconiah and his brethren. Now see, if you read that, you would think, okay, Jeconiah. But what you don't know is that that's Jehoiachin. Well, what happened to Jehoahaz and Jehoiakim? They did evil in the sight of the Lord. Their names weren't mentioned. But it went from Joaz and skipped to Jehoiachin.
Two generations that skipped, John. And it mentioned Josiah, who did good in the sight of God. But Jehoiachin, who began to do evil in the sight of God, but because he found grace from the king, his name is found in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And then you'll notice it goes down. Jeconiah, and after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begat Zethaliel, and Zethaliel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and so forth and so on until you get to Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is, because he became humble while he was in prison, the king showed him grace and mercy, and because of that, he was remembered. God never forgot him and never forgot his kids. So much, in fact, he gave him a promise that from your seed will come the blessed Son of Jesus Christ. So what you do tonight, young man and young woman, what you do tonight, if you come and give your life to Christ, will not only affect your life now, but it will affect your kids and your grandkids. Regardless of what choices, if you choose to walk out of here without God, it will affect your generations to come. But if you choose to have Jesus in your life, think of the blessings that can come. He can give you a promise if you give your life to Him. Are you in prison tonight? Do you find yourself like Jehoiachin? You need to get out? Humble. Be humble. Come to Him and ask Him. And the King, the Son that sits on the throne, will speak kindly to you. Pull you out of prison. Give you some new clothes to wear and give you a promise. And you know what that promise is? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.